The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, or you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now we will listen to the speech of Sheikh Osama Abdul Ghani.
Dear brothers and sisters, welcome back to our third edition. The lecture series this year is called The Transition. And what we've started with this year is the barzakh, our beginning or our initial stage as we transfer from this world into our final abode. Now what we'd like to talk about a little bit is the idea of the squeeze in the grave. If you look at some of the ahadith, it seems that almost everybody gets a taste of the squeezing in the grave. But then I'm going to mention another hadith from Imam Sadiq that again gives us hope that if we're able to take care of certain things, maybe we can avoid it. Let's see. Let's look at the hadith. The first one says this, إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْ مُؤْمِنٍ إِلَّا وَلَهُ ذَمَّ. There is no believer, the first hadith, there is no believer except that this person will be crushed in the grave. To what extent? Allahu A'la. On the other side, though, we do have that hopeful hadith from the Imam where he tells us, the man was asking, he said, well, all those wonderful things, again, it was Abu Basir, if all of those wonderful things that you described take place, what about the getting squeezed in the grave? And the Imam said, Hayhat, ma ala al-mu'minina minha shay'un. Mu'mineen don't have any of that. So the levels of Iman are different, but it's something that's definitely to be there. It is definitely one of those things that's a mention. Now, there are certain things that the Ahlul Bayt have said cause this, meaning out of all of the sins, because I mean, obviously, our chance in this world is to, first of all, make tawbah. If there's something that we've done, let's make up for it. Why wait to face these things? Why have it be, as it's mentioned in some of the ahadith, it's kafara. Why go into the next world with a kafara, with sins that I haven't made up for? It's better to take care of it here. But what are some of the sins, some of the problems, the issues, the spiritual diseases that the Ahlul Bayt have said, if you have these, then this is something that really needs to be, we need to be concerned about. The first one is called taking the prayer lightly. This is different than abandoning prayer. Some people just don't pray. It's just, the Imam is there, inshallah, he'll save me, the love of the Ahlul Bayt. But there's other people who know, they do that, but then the prayer for them just isn't that serious. If I pray it late, if I pray it on time, it's not a biggie. I don't place importance on the prayer, which is something that we see that our ulama have warned us about. So Lady Fatima asked her father, what happens to the person who takes prayer lightly? Again, as I said, this is different from the person, the hadith, the other said, the person who just abandons prayer, that's kufr. What about the person, Ya Abata, مَا لِمَنْ تَهَاوَنَ بِصَلَاتِهِ مِنَ الرِّجَالِ وَالنِّسَاءِ. For those men and women who don't take the prayer quite as seriously as they should, what happens to those people? The Prophet explained that there were actually 15 punishments, but three of them are related to our discussion. One of them is that Allah will set an angel on this person to torture and torment the person in the grave. This is one of the ways of the person being purified. There will be an angel to deal with that person in the grave. The second one he mentions, وَيُضَيَّقُ عَلَيْهِ قَبْرُهُ. The grave will, this person will be under a lot of pressure from the grave. And the third one is that instead of the grave being light, remember we talked about the good mu'min, how the grave will be expanded, the door from heaven. This person who takes the prayer lightly will find that the grave is very dark. Another one that's mentioned, number two, are those people who don't take the rules of tahara and najasa seriously. Now, again, this doesn't mean falling into the trap of waswas, which is a sin. That's a sin. So we're not talking about going above and beyond. The Ahlul Bayt have said, consider this dhahir. We consider it, it's a sin to act on waswas. We're not talking about that. But there's some people who just, it's just not that important. It's clean. Who cares? The rules. And you see that sometimes. That's actually one of those things that can lead to the squeezing in the grave. The third one is actually really important. In some of the hadith, it says a third of the squeezing and the pressure in the grave comes from this third one. And that is ghibah. Backbiting. I don't know how many of us remember when we read the statement of Imam Khomeini. I mean, not the statement. Many of us have probably read the 40 hadith. And there's beautiful discussions over there. One of the discussions is about the concept of ghibah. This hadith was, the first time I saw this hadith was over there, where he quotes, this is a hadith from Imam Ali. It says, اجتنب الغيبة, avoid backbiting, stay away from it, don't do it. Because remember, in Islam, listening to ghiba is also a sin. So one time, God forbid, I'm the person who'll talk about others. And of course, there are some exceptions. When is it allowed? We need to find that, like any other rule. When is it allowed for me? When is someone allowed to do ghiba? But let's say it's one of the cases where I'm not actually backbiting, but I'm listening when somebody else does it. And I don't defend the person. Because if you look in the rulings, they say that either you try and say, no, inshallah, that's not the case. But sometimes the way the person's explained, there's no way to say that that didn't happen. Then you again say something like, well, people can make mistakes, somehow defending the person that, but let's say somebody didn't do that. The Imam says, he says, avoid backbiting. He says it's part of the, it's the food of the dogs of hell. Inshallah, when I go a little bit further into the actions taking on a corporal form, you'll see what that means. But in the meantime, one of those that's to really be avoided is backbiting. Another one that you'll find is very serious, and it can out or undo a lot of our good deeds, is if we are not the most pleasant of people to be around in our homes. So it might be that the story that I'm about to share is about a father. He was a father, and unfortunately, his akhlaq was not the best in the home. But it might be a son, a daughter, a sibling, people who are working closely with another group of people. And what's so interesting is sometimes you'll find that the person's oblivious to how others feel from them. Like you, it's hard to even correct a person sometimes because I don't see how toxic of a person I am. There was one time when at least I know that, look, that's an area that needs to be addressed. I'm not very pleasant to be around. I'm not a pleasure to talk to. It's not easy to hang out with me. I make life hard. People walk on eggshells around me. But you'll find sometimes people didn't even know. Now, the story that's shared and the thing, and it just makes us, again, so concerned, is because the person who unfortunately had this, and we all got to learn this lesson, was one of the great companions of the Prophet. To the extent that some of the researchers said that if he stood with, if he was alive, at the time of Saqifah, he would have been one of those people who would have turned the tides. He was that kind of a strong companion. And of course, when he died, the Prophet took care of the burial rituals himself. He was walking with the, escorting the body. The Prophet didn't have the abba on or the cloak on. He didn't have shoes on. He's walking barefoot. Then not only that, he would put his hand on different areas as they're carrying the body. The Prophet's moving his hand to one side. The Prophet's moving his hand to the other side. After that, then the Prophet, the burial rituals, all these things, the Prophet over there smoothing out the grave. And then after that, his mom was so happy about it. She was like, "Ya Sa'd, haniyan lakal jannah." Just watch what the Prophet did. You're definitely, your place is in paradise. And right there, the Prophet stopped her. He said, "Umm Sa'd, don't make a rule for God. Don't say something definite's going to happen. Right now, Sa'd got that squeeze." The believers, they waited till everything ended. Then they came to the prophet and they asked him, they said, well, what did we just see? We see you walking. He said, well, there were so many angels. He had told them 70,000 angels. Hand on the right side, hand on the left side. That was Angel Jibreel. My hand was in his hand. You did all of these things. And then after that, then the prophet said the sentence. Naam. Innahu kana fi khulqihi ma ahlihi su'a. Unfortunately, he wasn't the easiest person to get along with at home. So as I said, if it can outdo somebody who was at that low. I mean, the poor guy, the reason he died was he was hit with an arrow and then finally he bled out and he died and then he went back to meet Allah. But still, that didn't cancel out how he mistreated people. He's just mean. And some people are like that. Very good Muslim, makes salat, pays zakat, do so many good, but I'm just mean. Words are harsh. Not a pleasure to be around.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Azim Alimun Halim Hakimun Mateen. وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صل عليه.